Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and the question I have today is why are people who earn a good income, who may be considered high net worth individuals, struggling with debt? I think we all believe that if we earned a bit more, financial issues would miraculously disappear, but this appears not to be the case because last year, debt counseling firm DebtBusters found that debt levels were increasing at a faster rate for higher income earners than middle or lower income earners, and many of them were relying on credit cards to manage everyday costs. So my question really is this a financial issue or is it a behavioral issue? And what can people facing this debt tsunami start to do about it? To have this conversation, I'm joined by certified financial planner, Johan Wert, who's worked extensively with high net worth individuals. So he's got a lot of insights. And welcome, Johan.
Thanks, Maya. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I think before we start this conversation, I want to, just set for our listeners, what do we mean when we say a high net worth individual? Maybe let's just define that. Who is the typical profile, you know, in this? What does a typical household look like?
Yeah, great, Maya. So as part of this, I also read that DebtBusters survey and the study which they've done. So they classified it as someone as an individual earning 35,000 Rand or more. But also in my practice, you know, I usually like to increase it a bit, you know, because also I look at the family as a whole and not just as an individual. So I usually go around anyone earning above 50,000 Rand more or less a month. So that will total around 600,000 Rand a year. And this is typically, you know, an individual or a family who's got a, you know, just looking at their expenses, they've got a, you know, a bond payment or a rental agreement, which they need to pay rent for. There's car payments, it might either be one or two cars. If we look at a typical family of four, you know, there's two kids, so there's school tuition fees, there's medical aid fees, there's obviously grocery bills, there's insurances, there's quite a lot of expenses, which I think, you know, if we start listing them, a lot of people don't even realize all the expenses that they do have. So yeah, that's your typical setup, and that's the, you know, as a start, defining what exactly that high net worth individual means.
Yeah, honey, you're talking about all those expenses. I remember, you know, I was dealing with a woman who I think her income was about a million Rand. That was her salary, which would definitely put her in right the high income bracket. But by the time she paid tax, and exactly like you said, paid tax, paid her mortgage, paid her car finance, paid this, her kids were, she had two children at private school, there wasn't much money left to buy food. So yes, we talk about high net worth, we talk about income, but the expenses are really challenging. And I, you know, do you think life has just become more expensive? I mean, definitely salary increases have not kept up. I must tell you, I certainly feel this way. My finances feel more pressurized than they did 5 years ago.
Absolutely, Brian. I think the biggest reality is when I sit with clients and they also realize that 100,000 Rand a month salary is not that much anymore. You know, if you look at our South African Reserve Bank, the aim is obviously to keep inflation at levels between 3% and 6%, and they're pretty good at doing that. But if you start, I always like to rather look at my own personal inflation rather than the country's inflation, because also, you know, as a high net worth individual, you need to also look at your own expenses. So if you go through your own budget and you just look at the price increases of food over the past 4 years, for example, I read an article end of last year where it mentioned that just your food prices increased by more than 50% over the last 4 years. And if you look at anyone who is getting an inflationary increase, you know, from being a professional and getting that from the employer, that's usually, you know, if they're lucky, it's about 6 to 7%. And then with that, obviously, you've got a medical inflation rates going up. The medical inflation is more, you know, between 9% and 12%. So compare that again to a 6% salary increase. You've got school fees going up between 7% and 9% every year. So it gets quite expensive. And also one example that I would like to use. So if you take an individual who earns 50,000 rand a month, one thing that you did mention now is the income tax. So if you take someone that earns 50,000 rand a month, after tax, they will probably get around 38,000 more or less. And that's an income tax percentage already of about 24%. So on that 38,000, if you add debt to that, so if we just use a simple example, and we all know what life costs nowadays, you can just figure this out by yourself. But if you have a bond to pay on a house, you know, for every million, more or less, if we take a 20-year bond, looking at the current interest rates, this is just more or less, that's a cost of more or less 10,000 rand a month, and that's for a million rand apartment. And if we look at it nowadays, you know, what you can buy for a million rand, obviously, depending on where you stay, and depending on what your individual needs is, it's not, you know, it might be a bit cramped up. So you might go for 1.5-2 million as soon as you get a family. And that's already a 15,000-20,000 rand expense. If you look at a car, if you buy a car, more or less the same example, it's about for every 100,000 debt that you need to pay, it's also between 2,000-2,500 rand a month. And we all know the cost of cars. So if you drive around with a 300,000-400,000 rand car, you've got a million rand apartment which you stays in, that's already, and taxes, that's already, that 50,000 rand is already cutting off. And then you haven't even started with your school fees. So definitely, I think life has become much more expensive. So in the beginning, you mentioned something about the behavioral issue, but also a financial issue. So speaking about the financial difficulties, yes, life is becoming very, very expensive. And I think a lot of South Africans can obviously feel the pressure because they just can't keep it up anymore.
And you know, that there is a very real financial impact. I mean, certainly the interest rates have also hurt over the last few years. If you were sitting with mortgages and car finance, but then you mentioned the behavioral side. And you know, the behavioral side is common to all of us. We're all guilty of it. We have what we call lifestyle inflation, right? And I know certainly my lifestyle inflation changed massively when I started a family. Yes. Because suddenly I needed more of everything, right? I needed a bigger house for the children. I needed a bigger car. There were now family holidays. Yes. And of course, then school fees start. And kids cost a lot of money. I must just tell you, I must warn you, if you haven't started having a family, don't run the numbers, because you'll never want to have children ever again. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think? We're also guilty of that, you know, just wanting more all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it a lot of my clients. As soon as you get that, let's talk in rand terms, as soon as you get that extra 5,000 or 10,000 rand, you can already see in your mind, you know, the nicer car, the holiday, I'm going to take my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my partner out more for more dinners. You know, the school, I already start thinking about the extra activities I can help my kids with. So it's just in our nature, because our relationship with money, it's an emotional one. And that's the thing that's a difficult part. You know, when we start to think about money, not a lot of people, if they get that extra 10,000 rand, they immediately think, okay, I'm going to save 5,000 rand of it. I'm going to pay 3,000 rand towards debt, and 2,000 rand, I'm going to spoil myself. If they immediately think 10,000 rand, yes, I can buy something bigger, something better, better clothes, whatever. So that lifestyle inflation, it's also called the lifestyle creep, because it creeps up on you. You don't even realize it. It's like you say, I mean, I can remember when I just got married, me and my wife, we stayed in a small apartment. Then it was one kid, then we got twins, so it moved from one to three. So the small apartment moved to a house. We had a maid once a week. All of a sudden, we needed her 4 or 5 times a week. We needed a bigger car. So all of these things, people don't really, you know, you can't really plan for it, but it's the reality. Mm-hmm. And that has got a significant impact on the wealth creation of a lot of individuals, because it's also, I think it's the sense of entitlement. I see it especially in the younger generation. Not the entitlement, but that immediate gratification. You know, they want to, if they get that extra 5,000, only 30 years old, I'll start saving when I'm 40. And that unfortunately never happens, because you create money habits, you know, over the course of a few years. And unfortunately, you know, to unlearn those unhealthy money habits is very difficult.
And it's so interesting what you're talking about that I'll save later, because what we know, like there is one fact, I can't tell you many things about your future, but one fact I can tell you is that the sooner you start saving, the more you're going to have later, right? And yet it's the opposite. We do the opposite. We wait to save when actually, if you just start even with a small amount from that pay, that first paycheck, the compounding on that is just enormous. And yet that's the one thing we just avoid at all costs. It's like, I'll wait, wait. And the more you wait, the more money you are just giving away. And but you know, that is us. That's us as human beings. That's us as you know, our nature. And I think also one of the challenges, and certainly I'm seeing this, you know, Johan and I think you and I have gray, I think I may have more gray hair than you. I'm in my 50s now. I remember a time when I started working and I wanted to buy a car, I was turned down by the bank. Have you ever heard of that? I mean, the banks don't turn you down for any debt now, any credit. They're happy to give it to you. In those days, they were far more circumspect. They were far more careful about what they lend, who they lend to, and your affordability. And I even remember they wouldn't give you more than an 80% mortgage in those days. You couldn't even get a 100% mortgage. It is so much easier now to borrow and then kick the can down the road and make it tomorrow's problem. And I wonder if one of the big reasons we aren't seeing this massive increase in debt in this particular segment, yes, there's lifestyle creep and you know, financial situations are becoming tighter, but banks love to lend. This is the segment that banks love to lend to because they can lend big amounts of money. These are people who are going to buy the million, two, three, four, 5 million rand homes, the bigger cars. It's a really nice market for the banks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what people need to realize also that the bank is also a business, you know, they want to make money. And people don't realize that. They think the banks are nice to lend their money. And unfortunately, there's no one nice here. You know, no one's gonna win here except for the bank. So, you know, it's like what I see practically on my phone every day. Every day, you know, I get an SMS that I've qualified for this, or there's this personal loan that I can take out. And unfortunately, you know, coming back to the discussion we had earlier regarding all that expenses, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't make it with that 50,000, or whether it's 30,000 or 100,000 rand, whatever they need, they don't make it, because a lot of them, they've got fixed expenses. There's uncontrollable expenses which they need to provide for. And then obviously the easy short-term route, you know, sometimes people just want to take a break and breathe. You know, I've had it with my clients, and I see they've got a personal loan of 100,000 rand or whatever. And I ask them, you know, what's the reason? Why did you take it? And they, you know, a lot of times they just very frank about it and said, listen, I was just tired of struggling. You know, I just needed to go on a holiday. So I took 10 or 20,000 rand of it just to take a bit of a break, because I haven't had a break over the past, you know, over the past year or two. So that's also a reality. But that spiral, that's something that I would never, you know, motivate my clients to go on. And usually when I see that, my first piece of advice is to listen, we need to create a serious plan here to get that personal loan or that credit card paid off as soon as possible. You know, because that's a slippery slope and it gets expensive. A lot of these things also, yes, there's that easy sentence which goes into every piece of marketing, you know, the T's and C's, and you agree to everything, but people don't read it. They see 100,000 rand, they say, yes, okay, I need to pay off 2,000 rand a month for the next 60 months. They don't care. But if you actually start looking at it, that cost of that debt is very, very expensive. And then what I've also seen is then the next guy comes up with another personal loan of 100,000 rand, which is a bit cheaper. And then you take out another personal loan to cover this credit card. So it just gets a bit messy from there. So I would definitely not, you know, recommend anyone to go that route. Rather, you know, be desperate and cut on your expenses wherever you can, and defer, you know, rather defer that need or that specific thing that you need to buy. But I think the like I said earlier, the emotional fact and the behavioral fact is much bigger. It's a much bigger problem than what we think it is. You know, if you just drive around nowadays and see the cars that the people drive and the clothes they wear and the amount of money they spend on dinners and going out, and the amount of money people spend on takeaways. It's just the easy stuff, you know, people want it quickly. And unfortunately, that's not very sustainable in your own financial portfolio and building any wealth at all.
You know, Johan, it's so interesting what you were commenting as you were speaking about that, about the cars, the eating out. And there is an expectation that you have, maybe I'm using the wrong word, but the right to it. I deserve all these things because I am earning this money. And I reflect back to when I was growing up and what my parents could afford. I know that we could eat out once a month and it was a big treat. It was a big treat for the family. That was like a special event. Certainly my parents did not have, you know, fancy cars. I just remember, you know, we did not go out for cappuccinos. We didn't do any of that. It just wasn't, and it wasn't a sense of deprivation. It wasn't like we were walking around saying, oh, we are deprived. It was just the way you lived. You know, you ate out once a month. You know, there was no such thing as coffee shops on every corner and picking up a coffee. And I do think we have created a consumer world that we now live in and we now expect to be able to continue living. And I think that is it. It is this sort of, you know, and our friends are doing it, everyone around us is doing it. And maybe there's we need to be reflecting a bit and saying, is this actually sustainable? And what matters to me? And I, you know, you were talking about eating out. And I have to tell you, I do eat out. My husband and I have date night, and we always have had date night. But I noticed over the last 2 months, my eating out bill had gone mad, like completely crazy. And I was like, what? I can't be, this is not money that I want to be just not able to remember where I actually spent the money and what I did. And I started the beginning of this month now writing down every time I went out. If it was a cappuccino, if it was, you know, a quick breakfast here, whatever it was, I was, the first week I was horrified. I was like, oh my word. By the second week now, I've already started to cut back because it's awareness. And I think we need to be
Absolutely.
doing that. You know, we really do.
Absolutely. And practically, I mean, it sounds stupid what I'm saying, but what I usually tell a client as well, listen, if there's a if your grocery and your entertainment expense is 10,000 rand for the month, start tracking it. You know, every week, just for yourself, just go like you did now, just go through your bank statement, and then you can see, well, I actually spent $500 on coffee, you know, this week. And then you can do the calculation. So, well, if I add that 500 rand to my retirement, or if I add that 500 rand to my debt payments, you know what the huge difference can be. So I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself and don't go and have a nice cup of coffee. But the thing is, you need to realize, because a lot of people don't realize the amount that they pay on certain expenses. And just coming back to what you also mentioned is the like the eating out and the cars and that entitlement. I think an unfortunate problem nowadays is that people define themselves by, you know, the car, the house, the clothes, the amount of stuff I can share on social media of where I eat out, and then you've got the other group of people that, you know, they fear that they will miss out. You know, so you get all these invitations, but you know you don't necessarily don't have the money, but you go, you know, because obviously your friends are going, and you've got this, you know, that old saying of keeping up with the Joneses. You want to show people, yes. You don't only want to tell someone, you know, you got a promotion at work or you got an increase at work. You want to show them. And exactly that, you know, when I was also growing up, I remember, you know, there was also maybe once a quarter, you know, we went out and it was to Spur or some small restaurant, you know, where stuff was still cheap. You know, and as a kid, you can maybe get one cold drink, but for the rest of the night, you had to drink water. You know, but nowadays it's just, you know, it's just money flying here and there, and people don't keep track of it. And I think that's the huge problem. And I'll also maybe touch on it later, is that the importance for people to know their numbers. I usually like to say, know your numbers. You know, you need to know, if I ask you in your budget, how much money do you spend on your food? You need to know. Because otherwise, I mean, you're never going to hit your targets. If you've got a financial plan, hopefully you do have, if you have one, you need to know how much money are you allowed to spend on something every month. That's unfortunately how it is. You know, you need to run a rigged system, you know, because if you keep on building up debt and building on debt and giving money out on stuff that you don't really need for the short term gain and the short joy of it. The unfortunate thing is, and I know this is not a retirement discussion, but that's also the other side of the coin that I see. You know, you get to 50, 55, and, you know, people, they've done all the travels, they've done everything, they've had the nice car and the nice house, but they don't have anything to show for it at 55. And then it becomes a whole different problem, which is obviously a whole different discussion.
I want to get onto the savings just now, but a bit, well, actually now, but I wanted to just make one final comment on the spending, and that is credit cards. Because when if I come across someone, Johan, I'm sure you're the same. The first, I always run this competition called Money Makeover with City Press. I did it for 7 years. And the first thing that people would do, I'd say to people, write down, send me your budget. They had to give me their budget to enter the competition. And they'd write it down. And then if they made it into the competition, the first thing we would do is make them track their spend for the first month and first 1 or 2 months. Everyone spent more than they realized. And the way that was happening was credit card debt. Because people just, you know, you spend on the credit card, but then there's a small little repayment every month that you have to make on the credit card, which basically keeps you in debt forever. That is what a credit card is designed to do. It is designed to keep you in debt forever. And that is, I think, if you are listening to this, please, the first thing I would say is stop spending on your credit card. That has to be number one.
Yeah.
But let's move on to, you know, this lack of savings. I mean, retirement funds, it's a disaster. I mean, when you're talking about it, it is a disaster. But even an emergency fund, right? Having a month or 2 months, up to 3 months of your income saved, people are not doing that. I remember one of the big banks was telling me about their private client segment. So your high net worth individuals, and they did some analysis and they found that the vast majority did not even have 1 month's salary saved for liquidity. And again, we always say, oh, I'll save when I have more money. But when is enough? What is more money? Is it double? Because I promise you, you have double and then you'll need another double and then you'll need another double. You know, what is enough to start saving?
That just made me think of so I usually ask clients that question. I ask them to answer it to me. You know, if they don't want to save, they say, well, they'll wait. And then I ask them, you know, when will that time be? What does that look like? And the scary fact is that people don't know that answer. And I think that's the important thing, is you need to sit down and make time and sit down with a professional or someone to define when is that, or at least now start as soon as possible. You know, I also like to tell clients is, listen, just start with something. I mean, even if it's, there's products out there where you can start with 100 rand a month. I mean, even if it's that difficult, and then start reviewing it, not every year, but review it every quarter. You know, because as soon as you, like you said, now you've got your budget and you track your expenses, you realize the amount of money that you give out on stuff that you maybe not need. So if you start with, let's say, 100 rand a month, at least now, today, anyone can, you know, most of us can at least cut out 100 rand a month. And people, I go as far as with my discussions and ask them, listen, tell me, what do you eat at night? You know, then have a cheap dinner night once a week. You know, don't eat eggs or buy a can of tuna or something practical, you know, and take that 100 rand that you save from that specific dinner and save it and review that then every quarter. Because at the end of the quarter, you'll realize, okay, I'm used to my 100 rand now. I can add 50 rand to it. And then before you know it, within the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to be at a good amount of saving every month. So that I think we all need to make peace with the fact that we'll never get to that place, you know, where there's enough to save, because there's never going to be enough. You know, there's always going to be something that you want to, you know,
mindset.
That you want.
Yeah.
There's always something. It's definitely a
mindset. And one of the ones that I also, which is a little bit of a trick, I think it was in the Save More Tomorrow, you know, the book Nudge.
Yes.
A very well-known book. The authors actually won Nobel Prize for their work around behavioral finance. And this is where you go to your HR. So you say you're employed, or you can do it for your RA or whatever, but say you've got an employer, you say to them, every year when I get my salary increase, I want you to increase my pension contribution by 2%. So if you are, you know, most people may maybe 10% of their salary is going to their retirement fund. So the following year, it will be 12%, then 14%, then 16%. And if you do that within 5 years, if you think about it, you're suddenly saving an extra 10%. But because you're tying it in with a salary increase, you're not feeling that, you know, directly hitting your monthly take home pay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I always also encourage people to rather do go that way, you know, where it's by means of a debit order or it comes from your salary slip, so that you don't have the option to think about what you want to do with the money. Because as soon as you start thinking, if you sit with all your expenses is paid and there's 5,000 Rand left in your bank account and you've got the option to do whatever you want to do, the last thing you're going to do is save money. And that's where that argument comes from, I believe, is that I don't have enough. There is enough. You just need to prioritize it.
I remember one of my money makeover women, when she did her tracking, she discovered she was spending 2,000 Rand a month on KFC breakfasts that she didn't know. She didn't know she was doing it because she would get up, be in a rush to take the kids to school, didn't have time to eat, would stop for a coffee in her mind from KFC, but then because she was hungry, she'd land up eating something. And it's all of those little things. And just by changing that behavior, she had 2,000 Rand a month extra, which she used to pay off debt. She was debt-free within 8 months. So it's not rocket science. And we are talking about higher income people. So we're not talking about people who really, I mean, I do see people earning 15,000 Rand a month, and I don't know how they're making it. You know, it's hard. Mm-hmm. This segment, there is a mindset part. There are things that we can do to get ourselves out of it. And for me, one of the thing that keeps me on track, I mean, I can overspend, trust me. I've just told you about my eating out. But I do have a financial plan, right? I have a clear idea of where I want to be financially, how I'm going to achieve that. And I think having a plan must be a really key aspect, because if you don't have a plan, you know, what are you working towards? Mm. Do you find in your practice that those clients who have a plan have less debt?
100%. So I think the thing that you mentioned in the beginning is very important, that you have a very clear plan. And that's the important thing that I also want to encourage people to get, is to have that financial plan. You know, a lot of people, you hear it a lot. You hear it over the radio on all finance shows. You read it in the newspapers. You read it wherever. Is to have that plan, because the plan works. I mean, if you run your own company, or if you're part of a company, your company, you've got a budget, you've got a plan, you've got a vision, you've got targets, there's stuff. That's what they measure you against. And it's the same with your personal finances. You need to have a plan. You can't just get a salary. And, you know, there's no miracles going to happen sometime in your life where there's money going to fall from a tree or from somewhere. You know, you need to have a plan. And like you said, absolutely, I see it where people have a plan, and where they involve me in discussing their plan, and we have our regular meetings, I can just see the amount of wealth that they've built over the past 10 to 20 years compared to those who I've seen. You know, I discourage them from spending on certain things. You know, they make their own decisions. They carry on with what they want to carry on. But I can see the huge difference in savings, in investments, and just in creating wealth over a period of 10, 15 years. Definitely, it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think that is, it really, really helps me. And I knew something, by the way, called a net asset value, or my net worth, which I write every January. It does make me feel good, because to see, you know, like, you know, whether you're paying off debt or whether you're adding to your investments, that, you know, it grows, because obviously less debt, you know, increases the number as well. So it's those are sort of some of the ways I think that you can also try and motivate yourself and track. But, you know, for people listening, and they're saying, this is me, they're discussing me, what can I do? How can I break this debt cycle? You know, you said there's just some sort of tricks and ratios and ideas that you would share with your clients. So maybe share them with the listeners.
Yeah. So just to start with is to get back to the basics. You know, it's not that difficult. You know, I think a lot of people, because money is an emotional thing, people are scared to talk about their money, or they're scared to go and share, their financial situation with someone which they might not know, as a financial advisor. So when I see people for the first time, I really try and create a trusted relationship to have them, to be comfortable and open about their finances, to know exactly, where they are. Because so the first point is obviously to get professional help. So like myself, so when I see someone, I would start from the beginning. They need to play open cards with me, where they are. And we start speaking about their lifestyle, and their habits and whatever they do. And then, after two or three meetings, we've got quite a bit of a plan that we work towards to. And just coming back, I think that's the important thing, is to put that pride or that shame or whatever that is. Don't worry about that. It's like going to a doctor. You're not shameful when you go to the doctor. I mean, when you're sick, you're sick. It's the same with coming to a financial advisor. You don't have to be ashamed of what you have or what you don't have. It's rather go for help and go for professional help. And then what you mentioned just a few minutes back, Maya, is also to have a plan. You need to have a plan. You need to, and getting back to the basics is have a budget. A lot of people don't even have a budget. Track that budget. Track, have actual expenses tracking to that. You mentioned the net asset value. For those who don't know, it's just taking all your assets, deducting your liabilities against it, and there you've got your net asset value. So that's the so another thing. And then also, if you've got debt, so also what I mentioned earlier is to know your numbers. I ask people, write me down. If they say to me they've got an issue of debt, I ask them, listen, write to me down. What's the outstanding amounts? What's the interest on the outstanding amounts? And what's your monthly payments? And again, a lot of them don't know it, but that's the starting point. So we need to know, what debt is more important to obviously pay off first or settle first. And then the last thing I want to say to you is you need to be desperate to change. No one's gonna change your situation. I mean, it's your responsibility. A lot of people is in big debt. And I don't want to be rude in saying, but we have to be honest in this. It's no one's fault but yourself a lot of time. You need to take responsibility for your finances, and you need to go and look for help. And as I mentioned, it's like if you're sick, if you're ill, you go to a doctor, you pay them a fee, and they help you. And it's the same with financial advice. You need to be prepared to take time to pay for it and to get a set financial plan.
And I really, I mean, I think it's such a powerful note to end off on, Johan, is it is your responsibility, and it is a ultimately it is a choice. And again, I'm saying this specifically because we are talking to people who earn enough. You earn enough. It's your choices that are having a big impact on your ability to build wealth. And that's it at the end of the day. And I agree with you. I get so many people coming to me saying, oh, difficulty and all of this. But the minute you say to them, well, write down a budget or track your spending, they disappear because they don't really want to change. They want to have a magic wand. They want a silver bullet. They want the easy thing. And it's never easy, but I can tell you, and you have worked with many, many clients. I've done money makeover. I run a money boot camp at the moment for Santam's employees. When people engage, the results are incredible. The financial turnaround is so fast and so
Absolutely.
incredible, but people have to commit, and that's all. There's nothing you and I can do about that. But hopefully people who are listening are going to feel motivated and take the first steps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Johan.
Great. Thanks, Maya.